From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a statewide and local news update. Election workers from Anchorage and Juneau are hard at work processing ballots from Juneau's local election. That's the sound of ballot envelopes being sorted at the Anchorage Election Center. Results are expected around 5 p.m. today, when City Clerk Beth McEwen will go live on Zoom from the Anchorage Election Center to present initial results. Juneau partnered with Anchorage this year to hold its first ever by-mail election. Voting ended Tuesday. McEwen flew in yesterday to use Anchorage's vote-by-mail equipment. That includes scanners that take pictures of ballot signatures to aid election workers in the signature verification process. Voters whose signatures don't match the one on file with the State Division of Elections will get a letter in the mail giving them a chance to correct their ballots. Here's McEwen.
On the signature verification process, there's approximately 4% that we're having to send a letter and saying this signature is not matching exactly what's on the envelope on your ballot, and we need to do some additional follow-up before we can count that ballot.
According to that letter, they'll have until October 15th to correct the error. Friday's results are unofficial. Ballots returned by mail are still arriving at the election center. They'll process ballots again tomorrow and on October 16th. They'll certify the election October 20th. Check ktoo.org/elections for results later today. Yakutat has a new health center after nearly 6 years of planning and construction. Expanded services and a multi-million-dollar facility mean that residents will no longer have to travel outside of the community for many of their medical needs. KCAW's Aaron McKinstry reports.
Rhoda Jensen is the executive health director for the Yakutat Tlingit Tribe, which runs the Yakutat Community Health Center. When she started working at the clinic 10 years ago, the operations were limited.
When I first was here, we had very, very limited dollars and couldn't even afford a new x-ray machine. Our x-ray was from the 1980s that we used forever.
The tribe leased a small space, but they didn't have adequate facilities or staff to meet demand for services like dental, vision, or behavioral health. Many residents had to get on a plane or boat to get the health care they needed.
And at that point, I had a staff of 7 and could see a lot of things that needed to change and to happen.
So they submitted a proposal to Indian Health Services for a joint venture construction project. If the tribe could find the funding to build a new facility, IHS would pay to operate it for at least 20 years. 37 tribes applied, and the Yakutat Tlingit Tribe was one of 7 awarded a contract. The city and borough of Yakutat transferred the land to the tribe at no cost, and the tribe used grant funding and financing to build. Kelly Leisman is the project manager and engineer for the new clinic, which opened its doors at the end of September.
I have been an advocate for tribal self-governance, in particular for small tribes, and to see this tribe go from a very, very small clinic to a very large clinic to take on the level of responsibility and increase the level of care for the community has just been tremendous.
Leisman has worked on similar projects in rural Alaska for decades, and he's watched what he refers to as a downward spiral of many small communities as depopulation leads to loss of funding for schools and local healthcare services. That spirals into further depopulation, he says, and it can be hard to come back.
And Yakutat had actually hit that threshold, and they are now coming back from that brink. So we're seeing people moving back. A large part of it is because of this clinic.
The 22,000 square foot facility will offer expanded and specialized services like internal medicine to all members of the community and the region, not just tribal citizens. Offering services locally will help people gain access to the care they need more quickly, Jensen says. And that's all the more important right now during the pandemic.
If someone can come to our clinic and get a root canal or get a crown, and not have to travel out of the community, especially with COVID, That's just bringing more resources and avenues to the patient to not have to spend as much money for not only the beneficiary, but the non-beneficiary.
Jensen says the tribe worked with community members, including elders, to design the new facility. It will also house a wellness center with traditional healing services, a sauna, and an exercise facility once the risk from COVID subsides. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin McKinstry.
In other news, Alaska's U.S. Senate race this year was not expected to be especially competitive. Incumbent Republican Dan Sullivan was predicted to cruise to victory. But political observers say the race is tightening, and in the past few days, money has poured into Alaska on behalf of Sullivan's Democratic-aligned challenger, Al Gross. Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media has this story on some of the behind-the-scenes maneuvering in the Senate campaign.
James Arkin tracks U.S. Senate campaigns for a news service called Politico, and he noticed a newly created super PAC called North Star had just spent $4 million on campaign ads in Alaska. So he went to the federal campaign finance website to look it up, but he didn't find very much.
They listed a treasurer earlier this week that is an individual that I am not familiar with, and the address for that treasurer is just a P.O. box in Alaska. And they will not have to declare for a couple of weeks any information about where this money came from.
Arkin may not know the treasurer of the group, but I actually do. It's Ryan Johnston, a 28-year-old Democratic legislative aide, who I think it's fairly safe to say does not have $4 million lying around. So I called him for the scoop.
I mean, North Star's mission is to shine a light on Dan Sullivan's record of failing Alaskans. Our new effort will hold Dan Sullivan accountable to Alaskans, and of course is complying with all campaign finance laws to do so. That's my statement at this time.
And just to be clear, I mean, is it worth me asking you any other questions, or is there pretty much nothing else you can share?
There's nothing really else I can share at this time or comment on.
But thanks to Arkin, there are a few more clues about this new super PAC. It hired the same company to buy its TV time as the super PAC aligned with Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer. And they're also using a bank tied to many different Democratic organizations. So this is not exactly a CIA level of secrecy. But Arkin says it gives what appears to be a Democratic-linked effort a measure of distance, which can help in a not especially Democrat-friendly state like Alaska.
You know, a lot of times a big investment from the National Party and from groups associated with leadership in the Senate can backfire. And, you know, Dan Sullivan's campaign and his supporters in Alaska could say this is Chuck Schumer's super PAC coming in to try and, sway the balance of this state. And now they can't say that declaratively.
Yeah, but they can get pretty close. Cue Matt Shukro, Sullivan's campaign manager.
These millions of dollars in dark money, these are funneled through obscure front groups, and they're all part of Chuck Schumer's campaign machine.
The North Star PAC isn't the only one spending six and seven-figure sums on Gross's behalf. There are four others that are collectively outspending Republican groups more than 4-1. Gross's own campaign announced Wednesday that it raised a huge sum of money, $9 million, in the past 3 months. Shukro says people are getting tired of hearing from the campaigns.
The television ads, the digital ads, the songs that are being played. I'm sure at this point a lot of Alaskans wish that we could just turn it off.
Shukro also notes that because of the way American campaign finance laws work, Alaskans can't find out where the money for these attack ads are coming from right away. Julia Savelle, a spokeswoman for Gross, says he supports more rigorous rules for campaign finance, including a constitutional amendment to reverse the Supreme Court decision that got rid of limits on spending by corporations and unions. But Savelle notes that federal rules bar Gross's campaign from working with any of the super PACs participating in the race.
Can't tell them to get in the race, can't tell them to get out of the race. They do their spending in races that they see as competitive, and clearly Alaska has become one of those.
That may sound like campaign spin, but Arkin, the Politico reporter, says it's true. He says across the country, the story of U.S. Senate races this year is one where Democrats have expanded the list of states where they have a chance, thanks largely to President Donald Trump's flagging poll numbers. The same thing that's happening in states like Montana, Iowa, Kansas, and Georgia is now happening in Alaska, Arkin says, and the millions of dollars from North Star PAC shows it.
$4 million is money that could be really helpful to them in a number of states, and so this is a pretty clear declaration from the Democratic Party that Alaska is on the map and on the board for them.
Requests for comment from national Republican groups about whether they plan to respond on Sullivan's behalf went unanswered Thursday. But one did send a press release with the subject line, new Schumer Super PAC comes to Gross's rescue. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
Industry opponents of a ballot measure to raise oil taxes have donated most of the money given to all Alaska political campaigns at the state level this year. The group One Alaska Vote No on One raised nearly $18.5 million through October 2nd, according to reports filed earlier this week with the Alaska Public Offices Commission. The state records don't include the races for president and Congress. One Alaska has raised more than 10 times as much as Vote Yes for Alaska's Fair Share, the largest group supporting the oil tax measure. This is KTOO News.